Well, for winter, it's awful wet outside, isn't it? I'm sure it's coming upon us soon. Great to be together again to worship, sing those good songs. I appreciate David leaving a couple of songs. There was some that kind of associated with our lesson, and sometimes if I'm thinking far enough ahead and prepare far enough ahead, I can suggest those, and I appreciate him leading some that associate with the lesson this morning. The lesson this morning is about our God, and it's about knowing our God. Is what the higher title might be here as far as the thought goes. As I've studied over time, and maybe you all as well, you think there's a lot to be said about the attributes of God and who God is, knowing who God is. And we spent a lot of time already talking about, in the list of 2.5 years we've been here, Jesus and his names and titles. And so to understand our Savior, we can look at the names and titles and his works that's assigned to him, and we know something about our Savior because of that. Similarly, about our God, we can learn things about him. So the title of my lesson is God, Our Ally. God, Our Ally. And as I've studied here from Romans chapter 8, there's a great passage for the Christian, a great passage in Romans 8, as it talks about how God is our ally. Now, allies is obviously, if you may recognize, that's a term that I've applied to the lesson as a title. We're going to look through here and study this from Romans chapter 8, and I think we'll see how this title fits what we're taught in Romans chapter 8. Some great, great lessons there, I think. And that's what I want us to look at today. So we're looking at and thinking about God, our ally. And so as we begin looking at chapter 8, verse 1 even, and I've got what I want to read up here. Chapter 8, verse 1 starts out, of course, and always remember, the chapter divisions are made by man. So sometimes they're at the right places and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're arbitrary. Either way, the chapter writer here is a good place to break for chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. There's no one in this word condemnation. We're going to talk about this word a little bit because it rings through this passage. There is a putting down is what this is. Condemnation is to condemn, or the Greek word is kata, K-A-T-A. A putting down or downward motion. And so there is no condemnation. There's no bringing down of the Christian, of those who walk in Christ, who walk after the flesh. And so as he introduced this, and obviously we're breaking here in the middle of a context of a greater sermon or greater lesson, greater teaching, because he starts out, there is therefore, and we're not going to back up, and nor are my study skills for Romans deep enough to back up and carry through all of that, and nor would we have time probably. But nonetheless, let's go therefore and go on down to verse 12. Therefore, again here, brethren, fellow Christians, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness of our spirit that we are the children of God, or sons of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then verse 31 through 37, probably the more well known for us, I'd say. This whole chapter, I think, is probably recognized as we study. But verse 31 through 37, we'll go ahead and read that as an introduction to the lesson. And we'll go through these. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, if God be our ally, if God is for us or lifting us up, that word for is to lift up, who can be against us or putting us down? That kata word comes here again. Kata, that against, versus God, who can lift us up? Who will be brought down if God is lifting us up? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And if you're into studying the Greek part of that, there's that kata word again, to be brought down. Now, it's not standard. The word is actually joined with other words as it goes through here. But who shall charge anything to God's elect? Who will place a claim against them? Because it's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? That kata word again. It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in these things we are more than conquerors, overcoming, that above and beyond. Not brought down like the cattle were, but above and beyond. God is for us. We are more than conquerors, over and beyond and above, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as our lesson today, I want to take time to look at these concepts mainly associated with the latter part of this lesson. Recognizing at the beginning, we're talking about and we're looking at, there's no condemnation, there's no one that brings us down, that is capable of bringing us down. And we're going to talk about that because there's some wording usage there we got to be careful with. But there is no condemnation for those, as verse Paul qualifies there, who live by the Spirit, verse 1, who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit. There's no one to bring them down. And so as we see our title, as we continue our lesson, kind of our subtitle, we have the assurance of life under the Son. That's what this is about. God is our ally. Therefore, we have assurance. We have hope. We have faith. We have confidence. Because God is our ally. So let's look at what is brought as we study this. The continue, as we've already introduced here, as I read through there as an introduction, talking about that word, that Greek word, condemnation, that kata is that the Greek, or to down, who can judge against us or put us down is the idea behind it, that an adverse sentence, a condemnatory sentence, that word that is brought there, and as we read through there, I think maybe you picked up on the ideas of things that bring us down, but God is for us. God is our ally. We have those things as against us. We have those who are our ally being our God. And so in this case, there is no adverse sentence, as it were, in Christ, as he titles the lesson. But it is, of course, we see the qualification there. Those who walk after the Spirit, those who are in Christ, those who walk after the Spirit have a blessing in this. And so as we look, there is suffering. There will be suffering. That is not excluded from this life. That is, and so therefore, we should not look at suffering as something that brings us down. We're to overcome, and that concept is within here. But we will suffer. So as we read verse 12 through 15, we're going to suffer like Christ suffered. We're going to suffer like Christ suffers. But there's a rebuttal. And that's the way I've used this word as we go through here. We have something that is proposed to bring us down, but the rebuttal is it won't happen because of God. Because God's our ally is the sum of it. The rebuttal is that though we may suffer like Christ, we have hope. We have hope. We will be glorified together with Christ. As we read through there in verse 12 through 18, we will be glorified with Christ. In verse 17, because we're joint heirs, we're going to talk about that again here in a second. If we suffer with him in verse 17, if it so be that we suffer with Christ, we will also be glorified together. So yeah, we will suffer, but our rebuttal is, who cares? We're going to be glorified, just like Christ was glorified. Big deal. Minimizing the negative, minimizing our adversary even, to the glory of our Savior and our future state of Christ. Because we have a benefit from this, we are adopted, we are heirs, we are to live by the Spirit. This idea of adoption we've studied before, we are children of God, not by birth. Because if a Jew looked at this, they're looking at their lineage. I was born to such and such family, I'm a child of Abraham. No, we're adopted. Nobody is free born in this family. We are all adopted in, we're all brought in as heirs. not to live as we wish, but to live after the Spirit. We are here to live after the Spirit. So we have hope in Christ. Though we are debtors, though we are adopted, we're not freeborn, we have hope. We have hope to be raised again as Christ. Well, who? And one of the questions that would come up as we read this, who can put down that heir? He's a child of the king, the king's son. Who's going to lay a charge against him? Who can take him down? He's the king's son. So there's an implication here as we look at victory, as look at our ally, our Savior. So God is for us. Who can be against us? Who can put down an heir? He's a child, the child of the king, reigning in his stead. So back to this, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's a play on words there in Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, if God lifts us up, I'm using the word ally here, as an overall theme I believe shows. If God lifts us up, who can put us down? Who can take us down? Who can put us down? Is there Satan, our adversary? Can he put us down? Can persecutions of Christians put us down? All those things are mentioned as we look through this whole lesson here. But mercy is evident by God's gift. No one can put us down because guess what? God was willing to pay the life of his son. How much more will he give us good things? That analogy of the father and the son, how God will take care of his own. There is no greater gift to be offered than his son. Therefore, what else would he give us? Anything less than that. He's already given that much. So anything less than that's easy. He's offered. There's no greater gift he could bestow. Therefore, there's nothing else that he will withhold, can withhold from us. He is capable of giving all these things. So if God can lift us up, if God is willing to offer his son, then what else is he able to give? And that is a great thing because in reality, because of this, and I've used this terminology in my lesson here, God, as we look at him being our ally and about us overcoming, in the world of games, we have what we call trump cards. It overrides everything. Checkmate. God's already got it, and that's what we're going to learn through here. He's already shown he's willing to pay the price of his son. He's already paid that price. There's no greater gift he could bestow. Therefore, there is nothing he would withhold from us. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not, in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's already gave so much, showing how great a gift he can and is capable of giving. He can therefore give us anything less than that is easy for him. He's already done that. So who is it that can accuse us? That downward, cast part of that word there. Who is there that can accuse us? In verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can accuse us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can accuse us? Who can accuse us of any wrong? Rebuttal is, guess what? God's got the trump card. God's got checkmate. God's going to justify us. It don't matter what they accuse us of. What God has done for us, our ally, he will justify. No matter what they accuse us of, God's the one that will justify us. He will make it right. He will set it right. He will justify us just as I never sinned. It's his power to justify us greater than our adversary. We are more than conquerors, that's at the end. He is our ally. So we have this assurance. No matter who and what our adversary does and says about us, we can overcome. Because God is the one who justifies, not our adversary. It's not the power of our adversaries in his ability to accuse us. It's the power of God to justify us. It's way greater. God has a power of pardon. God has a power of pardon. It's like, it don't matter. He's got that trump card. He can play it, and he will use it on our behalf. Once again, who is there to condemn us? Who's going to condemn us? And the verse 8, chapter, verse, I'm sorry, verse 34, who is he condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who cares who condemns us? Christ is our mediator. Christ is able to advocate for us. I don't care who condemns you, Christ advocates. That's what Paul's saying there. No matter who condemns you, the rebuttal is, we have Jesus. That trump card, that checkmate, it don't matter what you do. The Satan or adversaries that's in this world, and adversaries against Christianity, they may try to put us down and condemn us, that cat word that we're talking about. But Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our mediator. So knowing these things, who shall separate us from the love of God and Christ? But Paul begins to argue now. Who can condemn us? Who can accuse us? Now, who can separate us from the love of Christ? It's kind of a rhetorical question now, isn't it? And he goes through and he lists, there's two lists there that he goes through. Can these things separate us from the love of Christ? So in verse 35, can tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Our God's greater than all these things. What about the next list he gives there? In verse 38, not death or life, not angels or principalities, the unseen world, Satan himself, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, depth, or any other creature. None of these things can overcome. God is our ally. God is our ally. What is a rebuttal to these things? And these are bad things. The Christian, it will suffer persecution as Christ has already established in the chapter. That is going to happen. We're going to suffer with Christ. But guess what? We still have an ally. Guess what? We are more than conquerors. We may be suffering. We may be enduring. We may be undergoing trials. But we have an ally. We are more than conquerors. So it's not, and when we look at the idea of someone trying to put us down, as those words are used, that Greek word is intermingled in this chapter here. We don't just overcome. We are more than conquerors, greater than victors that is available to the Christian, to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Who can separate us? None of these things. Don't worry about Satan. He can't overcome us. He can't overcome the love of God and God's grace. The idea of more than conquerors is not a little victory. It reminds me, when I think about that, I think about some of the Old Testament battles. When the Jews come in, and they come in, the Israelites come in the land of Canaan, they didn't get no marginal victories. There was no barely conquered the land. When God was with them, there was a great and huge victory. So much so, the nations were coming around trying to negotiate with the Israelites before they got there. Help us out here. We've seen what you've done. It's going to happen to us. Have mercy on us. We are more than conquerors. An exceedingly great, overwhelming victory. Not by a little bit. Paul says we are great, exceedingly great victors because we have an ally. Ally is our God. So as we talk about this, we looked at this as the introduction rang there. There is none capable of putting us down. There's none capable of overcoming us and putting us down. Not those who are in Christ Jesus, not those who walk after the Spirit. That is not possible. That's the assurance of a Christian. Those who walk after the Spirit. So what do we say to these things? All our adversaries, all our persecution, all those things against us, which were great in the time of Christ, what do we say to these things? We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not by a little bit. Not by just the skin of our chin, as it says sometimes. We are overwhelming victors through him that loved us. So as we look, there are those entities, even we might use that word, there are things in life that try to put us down. There's those that accuse us, that condemn us and persecute us, the powers of darkness, all try to take us down, but we are more than conquerors. Great, and to be an encouraging passage for us as Christians as we live our lives here, to know our ally and what he can do for us, and know that there is victory in choosing God. There's victory in choosing God. No other way. All other ways lead to destruction. There is no victory. There's only victory through God. Have you chose God? Have you chose that path? You must be His child. You must be His heir. And we know we can do that. As Galatians 3:27, let me just read that. Galatians 3:27, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And there's neither Jew nor Greek. It talks about there's done away with those divisions. And if you be in Christ, verse 29, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're in Christ, then you're heirs. We are His child. How are we in Christ? By being put on Christ. How are we put on Christ? By being baptized. Are you His heir? Are you His child? Have you been baptized? That's how we become His children. Because it's God that justifies us. It's not about who condemns us. It's about God who does the justifying. He pardons our sins. Jesus is our mediator. No matter what we're accused about with God, we'll be justified because God will overcome those. Jesus is our mediator. He will advocate us. There is no one who will judge us and to accuse us or to take us into judgment and to confine us is what is kind of associated with that. Jesus is going to advocate for us. We are more than conquerors. Not a little, not barely, but overwhelming. And as we think about it and we look at it, yeah, life is tough. Life can bring difficulty. There can be challenges. There's things that's hard to overcome. Paul is saying, focus on God. We can't conquer with God our ally. If we are His children, if we are His heirs, if we're living according to the Spirit, we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Yeah, we will have trials. We will be afflicted in our deepest, darkest moments. If we have our Elijah moments where we want to run and hide in a cave, realize, first of all, God's there. God's got the victory. Even though sometimes in our life we may come to that point where we're distressed about our situation. We're distressed about what's coming up or what we're enduring. We can overcome. We will overcome. As Christians, we will overcome because of our God. We have the victory. So it's kind of the victory cry of a Christian. God is on our side. We are more than conquerors. God and Jesus wins. That is the narrative of the entire Bible. No matter what Satan does, no matter what the world does, God wins. Be on the side of victory, be on God's side. Live according to God's rules. Live after the Spirit. Jesus has gave His sacrifice. Yes, He died, but He won. By dying, He won. He won a victory for all of us because our sins can be forgiven. You know, it's a shame we took passages like this and the religious world can take them and they can present them in a way that is not according to God's pattern. And we see as we study this, intermingled with all this is our responsibilities. That because these things, because it says all these things that we are more than conquerors, because it says God is on our side, it does not mean we don't have to do our part. And maybe sometimes we're scared of this passage. Maybe we're unsure about how to teach this passage. But God, this passage says, God is our ally. It don't matter. If we're Christians and we're following Him, we can have the assurance that we are more than victors in our life here. And we can go to bed and lay down at night as Apostle Paul, and we can sing songs of praise of God no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how difficult it is. It's a great and reassuring passage for the Christian. God has the victory for us. You know, there's also another point of this probably that we could consider is the victory we can't gain of our own self. Yes, we need to be about living a godly life. But God carries the victory over those that we can't overcome. Satan has the ability to be superior to us. And is superior in strength. He's a spiritual being. Hence, Paul told the Corinthians, he's limited, Satan. And basically by saying it in his way, the way Paul said it, is we will not be tempted beyond what we're able to withstand. Implying, first of all, that we can, but God has provided an out for us. And so once again, we see the Christian in our life here, how we can avoid the pitfalls of Satan, how we in our lives can be victors. Not because we merited it, because it's the grace of God, but we met the qualifications. But we lived according to the Spirit, because we suffered as Christ suffered and saw that victory. That victory through Christ, the victory through God. Only through them can we have this victory. Are you a child of God? Being a child of God, you have these blessings. Not just the forgiveness of sin, but you have the blessing of His protection, His help, and His victory that He offers. We have that through God. That's only available through Him and through His Savior. If you be baptized and have your sins washed away, you can be a child of God, an heir, and receive the blessings that's associated with these things. And if you begin your walk and you stumble along the way and need the prayers of the saints, we always offer an invitation as well. Make a request known. So if you're subject to our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?